Prestige Worldwide Dynasty Fantasy Football League Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Baywall PPC. Pay-per-click puts you in the captain's seat of your marketing efforts. Through data-driven optimization, your brand will be put front and center in front of your key demographics. We'll help you bring in increased conversions and qualified sales leads. Our pay-per-click team will examine your traffic to make sure you're not wasting a penny on unnecessary spend and focus on driving in traffic that will maximize your return on investment. Visit baywallppc.com. All right, we're back. Week 6 in the NFL and the Prestige Worldwide Dynasty Fantasy Football League. And like I always say, what a week it was. Start with life updates. Admittedly, I did not watch much football this weekend. Sunday morning into the afternoon, I ran my half marathon in Detroit. It was fun. Made it. And like I said, I'm officially retired from all physical activity moving forward. But it was good. It was fun. All right, let's jump right into the scores here. Thursday night, Kansas City took down Denver 19-8. Pretty boring game overall. Pat Mahomes, 17.34. Pacheco, 12.8. Cam Sutton, led the receivers, 12.6. Tight ends, Travis Kelce, 16.9. And the Chiefs defense, 15. The London game, Baltimore, 24. Tennessee, 16. Lamar Jackson, 17.12. Derrick Henry led the running backs, 18.3. 14.1 from Zay Flowers. Mark Andrews, 8.9. And the Ravens defense had 10. Washington Commanders took down Atlanta Falcons, 24-16. Sam Howell, 18.34. Brian Robinson, 12.6. Drake London had a big game. Finally, coming out party for him. 17 points for him. Kyle Pitts, 12.3 from him. But somehow the Commanders outscored the Falcons defense 10-5. Next one. I did actually catch some of this game towards the end. Absolute shit show of a game. Minnesota took down Chicago 19-13. Unfortunately, Justin Fields did exit this game, which we'll get to injuries later on. Kirk Cousins, 8.74. Alexander Mattison, 9.2. Jordan Addison, 10.3. 8 points from TJ Hockenson. And the Vikings defense mustered 23 points. So that game was a shit show. Like I said, I'd rather have the Bears win because I still think Minnesota is weirdly a threat to the Lions in the NFC North, but we'll see. All right, next, Seattle loses to Cincinnati 17-13. Looks like Cincinnati's back on track. Joe Burrow is healthy. They're looking good as a team. He had 13.8. Kenneth Walker, rather running back, 16.4. Tyler Boyd actually led all receivers, 13.3. Shocking there. Tight ends, not much. This is Kobe Parkinson, led all tight ends with 3.1. And the Bengals defense mustered up 12. Shocker of the week here. The P.J. Walker-led Cleveland Browns take down San Francisco, 19-17. Just an ugly game all the way around. Some key injuries in this one for San Francisco. Debo Samuel left early. Christian McCaffrey left early. We'll get more on them in the injury update later on in the episode. But Brock Purdy, 7.7. Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt, while they're running backs, 14.6. Amari Cooper, 12.8 out of him. Tight ends, 3.9 gets it done for David Njoku. And the San Francisco 49ers defense at 8. Upset of the week here. Houston takes down New Orleans 20-13. Houston is looking good. CJ Stroud is playing pretty well. But in this one, Derek Carr outpaced him, 16.32 for him. Alvin Kamara led running backs with 13.9. Rashid Shaheed, a big game out of him, 17.3. Dalton Schultz, big game out of him, 14.1. And the Texans defense had 10. Next, the Jaguars crushed the Colts, 37-20. Trevor Lawrence, 14.74. Travis Etienne, another massive week out of him, 21.8. Michael Pittman, 15.4 from him. Tight ends, who is this? This is Brenton Strange. Brenton Strange led the tight ends, 9.7. And the Jaguars defense at 13. Next one, Miami absolutely destroys Carolina, 42-21. I did see that Carolina was winning this game 14-0, and they lost 42-21. So yeah, they suck. They're 0-6. Tua Tagovailoa, 22.48. Raheem Mostert, 32.7. Just absolutely massive game from him. Tyreek Hill continued to do Tyreek Hill things, 25.3. Tight ends, Tommy Tremble, 3.5. Man, not much tight end production this week. Jesus. And then Miami defense, 5 points. Then we got Las Vegas takes down New England, 21-17. Probably it was a shit show game. Didn't watch much of it, but I imagine this game was probably somewhat unwatchable. Jimmy Garoppolo, I did read that he went to the hospital for an injury. More on that in the injury update. 8.88 from him. Ramondre Stevenson somehow finally woke up. 15.5 from him. Receivers, Jacoby Myers led all receivers, 14.6. Michael Mayer, wow, rookie tight end, 10 points out of him. And the Raiders, 9 points out of their defense. another upset of the week here. The Jets beat the Eagles, 20-14. Jalen Hurts, 19.9. Breece Hall, 17.8. A.J. Brown, 16.6. Dallas Goedert, 6.7. The Jets defense, 12. Yeah, just kind of a weird one, but the Jets get it done. Love to see it as a Lions fan. Sleeper of the week, or snooze fest of the week, I should say. Rams take down the Cardinals, 26-9. Matt Stafford, 13.2. Kyron Williams, 21.8. Cooper Kupp, 24.3. Trey McBride, 8.2. And the Rams defense had 11. And next, Detroit Lions dominate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and win 20-6. Just an absolutely convincing win for our Detroit Lions. They made Baker Mayfield look like Baker Mayfield. Jared Goff, 22.4. Rashad White, 5.3. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 24.4. Sam Laporte at 5.6, and the Lions defense had 10. Then we have Buffalo take down the New York Giants, 14-9. Josh Allen, 13.86. Saquon Barkley, back from injury, 11.8 from him. Stephon Diggs, 15, which is actually kind of light for him. He only had 100 yards there, so still led all receivers. Tight ends, who is this? Quinton Morris, never heard of him in my entire life. Quinton Morris led all tight ends with 8 points from the Bills. And the Bills defense had 7. And then lastly, last night's game, Monday night game, Dallas edges out the Los Angeles Chargers, 20-17. Dak Prescott, 24.88. Tony Pollard, 14. Keenan Allen, 18 from him. Gerald Everett, 9.3 out of him. The Chargers, 7 points from him. So, yeah, that wraps up the scores for the week. And let's move on.
And just a gruesome injury to Taylor. We won't show it. We're we're not doctors, so we're not going to speculate, but I'm fairly certain that your leg is not supposed to bend that way.
All right, the sad part of this episode or this podcast, the injury report. But first, this is a massive week for bye weeks. We've got Carolina Panthers, Cincinnati Bengals, Dallas Cowboys, Houston Texans, New York Jets, and Tennessee Titans all on bye in week 7. That's the most there will be in 1 week this year. I don't really understand what the hell they're doing because next week there's nobody on bye for week 8. And then they have teams that are on bye in week 14. It just makes absolutely no sense. But anyways, let's get into the injuries. First up, Justin Fields, thumb dislocation. Fields dislocated his thumb, and one of the concerns is that one of the several ligaments that provide stability to the joint are damaged beyond repair. Oh, fuck. The Bears have already said they'll try conservative treatment first. But even if Fields is able to get out of pain, he'll need that stability that the ligaments may not be able to provide. This is a highly volatile situation, and if he needs surgery, it'll be 6+ weeks before he's ready. Damn. That's, to me, that sounds career ending. Holy shit. Christian McCaffrey, oblique. McCaffrey has an oblique injury, which is truly as bizarre as it sounds. In my database, there have been two other running backs with an oblique injury since 2018. Najee Harris is one of these running backs last season. Similar to ribs injury, pain tolerance will play a big part in this issue. As of today, McCaffrey should suit up. Kyren Williams, ankle. There's nothing obvious on video, but this ankle injury has been labeled as not serious by the Rams. If this is not a high ankle, Williams really can return by week 8. However, this is Williams' third ankle injury in 2 years, which complicates matters. Stay up to date on this one in particular. With Ronnie Rivers out for several weeks, it's anybody's guess what the Rams will do. Rookie Zach Evans is the other running back on this roster. Trevor Lawrence, knee. The Jaguars have called this a minor sprain for Lawrence. On video, this appears to be an MCL/bone bruise type injury, similar to Kenny Pickett's from earlier this year. The average amount of missed time for QBs off this injury is 0.5 games. Given the quick turnaround, Lawrence is at legitimate risk of missing the Thursday night game against the Saints. David Montgomery, ribs. Monty has a rib injury, and Dan Campbell said he'll miss some time. Since 2018, when running backs have missed time for a ribs injury, that means the mean games missed is 2.2. The median is 2. In other words, the Lions may just wait until after week 10 bye to bring him back. This is actually a great time to try to acquire Montgomery for managers who are essentially on cruise control already. Additionally, this could reset the game for Gibbs and allow him to show the coaching staff what he can really do. Let's hope so. Deebo Samuel, shoulder. Deebo likely has an AC joint sprain, and his x-rays are negative. Similar to Brandon Ayuk earlier this season, Deebo could miss just one game or no time at all if the injury is considered a grade 1. Conversely, if this is a grade 2, Deebo will be out for at least 2 weeks. Additionally, wide receivers who have a general shoulder injury miss one game 18% of the time. Stay up to date on this situation as it evolves. Jimmy Garoppolo, back. The nature of this back injury is mysterious, but luckily Garoppolo dodged a bullet, as the team put it. Don't anticipate Jimmy G to be in the lineup in week 7. Ryan Tannehill, high ankle. Tannehill had a tightrope procedure done on his ankle just last season. Now dealing with another high ankle sprain, there's a chance he misses a significant amount of time. Malik Willis, who looked like absolute dog shit out there, is a deep league consideration. No, he's not. Presuming the Titans don't bench him after a terrible showing in relief. Oh, yeah, it was fucking terrible. Baker Mayfield, left hand contusion. Baker has a contusion to his non-throwing hand. This shouldn't be a major issue. And then some players to monitor this week. Jeff Wilson Jr., Aaron Jones, Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, Jamal Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Deshaun Watson. And that does it for this week's injury report. All right, let's take a look at the weekly report from week 6. Best manager goes to Liver Spotted Hands, who set a lineup that was 100% of their perfect possible lineup. Congratulations, Liver Spotted Hands, manager of the week. Worst manager of the week, Team Johnny Watts, set a worse lineup and only scored 72% of their perfect possible lineup. Congratulations, worst manager of the week, Team Johnny Watts. Biggest blowout, Boats and Hoes takes down Team Simiette by a margin of 79.9%. The score was 143.12 to 79.56. Narrow victory, Team Tighten Up just squeezes by Team Johnny Watts by a margin of 0.4%, 79.8 to 79.52. So yeah, that's close. Highest score, Boats and Hoes, 143.12. Lowest score, 36-minute phone call, 72.3. Overachiever, the Gilded Lady overachieved their projection by 26%. Below expectation, Tighten Up missed their projection by 25%. QB of the week, Team Nighthawk started Tua Tagovailoa, 22.48. Running back of the week, Boats and Hoes started Raheem Mostert, 32.7. Wide receiver of the week, Mike Concho, started Tyreek Hill, 25.3. Tight end of the week, Liver Spotted Hand started Travis Kelce, 16.9. Defense of the week, Mike Concho started the Kansas City Chiefs, who had 15. And then we get into the bench warmers, the QB bench warmer of the week. Unfortunately, Team Johnny Watts sat Dak Prescott, who had 24.88. Unfortunately, Boats and Hoes left Ramondre Stevenson on the bench, 15.5. Unfortunately, Boats and Hoes also left the wide receiver bench warmer of the week, Rashid Shaheed, 17.3 on his bench. Tight end bench warmer of the week, Johnny Watts left Jonnu Smith on the bench. He had 11.6. And unfortunately, 36-minute phone calls left the New York Jets defense on their bench. They had 12 points. And that wraps up the weekly report. And next, we'll run through the matchups here real quick from week 6. Team Nighthawk took my team down in a big way. He crushed me, 124.48 to 84.58. The Gilda Lady takes down 36-minute phone calls, 105.52 to 72.3. Mike Concho gets a victory, 101.86 over Team Mabel J.A., 87.24. Boats and Hoes, the high score of the week, 143.12, crushes Team Simiette, 79.56. Team Mena, 118.4, gets the victory over Liver Spotted Hands, 106.74. And Team Tighten Up, narrow victory of the week, as I mentioned earlier, takes down Team Johnny Watts, 79.8 to 79.52. Just a real unfortunate loss for Team Johnny Watts. Sucks losing by less than a point. Just real unfortunate. And then standings after week 6. Boats and Hoes remain 6-0, waiver 5. Nighthawk, 5-1, waiver 9. Mike Concho, 5-1, waiver 2. Team KK, 3-3, waiver 3. Team Simiette, 3-3, waiver 10. Team Tighten Up, 3-3, waiver 11. Team Johnny Watts, 2-4, waiver 8. Team Mena, 2-4, waiver 1. Maldo J.A., 2-4, waiver 4. Liver Spotted Hands, 2-4, waiver 6. 36-minute phone calls, 2-4, waiver 12. And bottom of the barrel, the Gilda Lady, 1-5, waiver 7. And that wraps up the standings for the week.
There's this general thought, this consensus, that whenever sports books are offering a promotion or when they're boosting odds, they're trying to trick you. Basically, they're trying to bait you into taking a bet that they know is going to lose, or the promotion itself is a scam. And of course, reading the terms is very important, but sports books aren't trying to trick you. What they're trying to do is get users on their platform.
All right, week 7 betting, Thursday Night Football. Jags take on the Saints. If Trevor Lawrence is out, I don't know if he is or not. It sounds like he might be, though. If that is the case, absolutely hammer Saints money line. My book currently has it at minus 120. yeah, just keep an eye on that one. What else we got in this game? Touchdown scores. Probably take Travis Etienne. He's been crushing it lately. Plus 100. I like that a lot. Other than that, not much in this game, really. Let's see. Calvin Ridley yards, 54.5. That's probably a good look. Yeah, I think that's all I like this week from betting on Thursday game. Let's just look ahead to see what else they got in some of these other games. Buffalo, Patriots. Oh, geez. Buffalo was only -9 over the Patriots. I might consider that. 9 is kind of low. The Patriots are absolutely dog shit. The Bills are kind of dog shit, though, too. So 9's a weird number, but I do like it. Let's see. Yeah, nothing really else catches my eye. So, yeah, quick betting segment. Unfortunate, but it is what it is. And lastly, before I wrap this up and send you on your way, take a quick look at week 7, the week ahead of us. Like I mentioned earlier, Thursday game is Jacksonville versus New Orleans. If Trevor Lawrence is out, I love New Orleans to win this game at home. We've got Detroit Lions, our Lions against Baltimore on the road. Should be a good game. The Lions train just keeps on rolling, so just keep rolling with the Lions. I mean, they can beat Baltimore. Baltimore is a beatable team. Running quarterbacks typically give us trouble, but I think this Lions team is just different, man. I'd like us to get the win on the road. Las Vegas versus Chicago. Both starters are probably out. So I have no idea. I'm just going to skip that game entirely. Cleveland on the road against Indianapolis Colts. Both starting quarterbacks are probably out of this one too. So I'm just go ahead and skip that one. Buffalo on the road against New England, like I mentioned earlier. New England is absolutely dog shit. Like Buffalo to bounce back in a big way against a divisional opponent in this one. And that's really about it. Washington at the Giants, another divisional matchup. The Giants are just terrible. If it is Tyrod Taylor again, he sucks. So I like Washington in that one. Atlanta on the road against Tampa Bay. That should be an interesting game. Atlanta seems to be rolling, so I like them to get it done against the Tampa Bay team who looked like shit against the Lions this past week. Arizona at Seattle. That should be a snooze fest of the week. Seattle should roll. Pittsburgh at LA Rams. That one's going to be tough. It should be close, probably low scoring. I'd take the Rams on that one. Green Bay at Denver. Another snooze fest, probably. But Green Bay sucks. Denver sucks. If I had to pick, I'd say just take Denver at home. LA Chargers at Kansas City Chiefs. This would be a good game, probably the game of the week. But yeah, the Chiefs probably just continue on rolling here and keep that train going. Chiefs to win. Sunday night too. Sunday night, this is going to be good. Miami at Philly. Both teams 5-1. Both teams, you could argue, are best in their respective conference. A lot of points will probably be scored in this game. It's going to be a good game. Sunday night too. Although, every prime time this game here has like absolutely sucked ass. So, hoping that's not the case for this one because it's actually a good matchup. If I had to pick, I'd take Miami to beat the doors off of Philly, but we'll see. And then the Monday game, San Francisco at Minnesota. Like I mentioned in the injury update, we have to monitor McCaffrey and Debo because those two are pretty important pieces to their offense. And honestly, without them, Brock Purdy looks like shit, so for the sake of the Lions, let's hope that San Francisco is healthy going into this game and they just simply just take care of business against a piss poor Minnesota Vikings team. So yeah, should be a somewhat interesting week. Other than that, I think I just leave you with the quote of the week here. All right, quick and easy one here. The quote of the week: the sky has no limits, neither should you. Usain Bolt.